and Brooklyn's TAC Ensemble. MyRiverTickets.com or WCMConcerts.org.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Van Gorder's Furniture, featuring Lodge and Adirondack styles as well as rustic collections. With showrooms at Lake Wallenpaupack, downtown Honesdale, and Milford, PA, Van Gorder's Furniture brings the outdoors inside. VanGorders.com. From Dog Mountain Lodge, providing dog boarding and grooming, also boarding cats, birds, and other exotic pets. Located in Keshecton, New York, and on the web at DogMountainLodge.com. And from listeners like you.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Local Edition. News and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. I'm back in Liberty in the new studios. It's a summer fun drive. Don't forget to call us at 845-482-4141 or donate online at wjffradio.org. In the second half of the show, we'll be checking in with Haley Matola from Sullivan County Public Health, talking about monkeypox and COVID-19. But first, it's Friday on the Local Edition, and every other Friday, we check in with the one and only Chris Raleigh from the Shawanagunk Journal. He's on the phone with us now. Chris, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Welcome back to the program, Chris. This is the first time I think I'm talking to you from our new studios in Liberty. Thank you so much for joining us. You are out and about. But you were talk to me earlier, you were talking about a class you took the other night, an active shooter class. And this is really interesting because, you know, now we have what happened in Buffalo, what happened in Texas. This is a thing on everyone's mind. So what happened in this active shooter class you went to?
Well, really, yeah. Well, we're in the summer of Uvalde, and of course, don't forget July 4th. North of Chicago, Highland Park, and then don't forget, of course, you know, the horror in Buffalo at the Pops supermarket. I mean, anyway, so the point is there that this is becoming, unfortunately, a kind of a part of normal American life. So we need to be prepared. We need to know what to do if, God forbid, you happen to get caught up in one of these terrible things, in these events. And so Captain Wage, who is a 28-year veteran police, and is currently, come out of retirement to work for the Ellenville Police Department, is giving a series of classes, to people on what to do. And the first one was held at the, St. Paul's, AME Zion Church, here in Ellenville. And, it was really excellent. I mean, he's marshaled a lot of material, and, there were a number of things that stood out. But if there's one thing to get across to people is that if this is something that ever happens to you, remember this. Don't do nothing. It is far better to do the wrong thing or the right thing than to do no thing. Just standing there like whatever is the easiest way to get shot.
Wow.
And so that was key. But there was a lot of other stuff that he got to, and it was an excellent class, and it ended on a slightly amusing note, but he set up some scenarios with someone breaking into the church with a Nerf gun loaded with the orange Nerf sticks. And then, now, most of the audience in this particular class were pastors. They were all priests and pastors and, religious figures, right? So you can't imagine. So suddenly we have a church full of religious getting up, running, hiding, diving as the yellow Nerf sticks fly past them. It was a surreal sight.
Yeah, I mean, it is comical, but like I said, it's plausible, and as has happened already in churches and other places in the country that an active shooter has come into places like that. So hopefully they wouldn't have to put those new skills they learned into use anytime soon.
Yeah, you got the Charleston thing, you got the Texas thing, you got the attack on the synagogue. I mean, it's happening, and these things are happening more and more. it's going to behoove everybody to have some mental preparation for this. And the key thing is to be aware of your surroundings when you're out in the public. Right. And be prepared to do something. Don't just stand there where your jaw drops and end up getting shot. It was excellent. And Captain Wage has done a lot of work and put together a good show. And he had his tech guy with him, Cecil Hunter, who moved the stuff around on the screen for him. And it was good. It was good. So I took that away. We'll have a story on that in the Shangam Journal next week. Meanwhile, the other big story here in Wawarsing, in the southwest corner of Ulster County, would have to be that there's a new plan for yet another cannabis facility. But this is not an indoor grow. This is the absolute reverse of that. This is outdoors, sun-grown heirloom. Now, I didn't say it's artisanal, but I'm sure that will come into it at some point, right?
Right, yeah.
Anyway, there's a $30 million investment, so it's not trivial. They're going to take the quite absolutely gorgeous property on Route 209, the Kelly Farm. Anybody who's driven up Route 209 will know it because of the white barns that are on that site. And that's going to be the office building and everything, and then behind it will be a vegetable garden, and then there'll be an area that will be their outdoor cannabis grow areas. And these people they know it. I mean, the young lady who's the centerpiece has worked in Southern Oregon on cannabis farms, so she knows sort of it from the ground up, as we might say, you know. So.
Yeah, cannabis, it's a growing industry. Just recently, I saw an article in the Sullivan County Democrat that our local community college, SUNY Sullivan, is proposing a cannabis industry class to their students soon. So it's a growing industry. People are into it. But one question I have to ask you, where exactly are you? Because there's a lot of commotion behind you. I'm curious about you.
Oh, sorry. I'm at the actual the farmer's market.
Oh, okay.
In Ellenville, yeah, and it's a lively scene. Broidel would appreciate it. We have dogs, we have people, children running around. I mean, it's a very kind of happy family kind of scene. Ciders and meads on one side, pasture raised heritage meats over there from Majestic Farm. There's vegetables, there's plant based. This is kind of cool. On one side, we have an orange tent with meat things, smash burgers and so on. And right next to it, we have plant-based Indian street food.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a nice variety of stuff.
Yeah, and, definitely. That seems some things that you don't normally find at some farmer's markets, but nice diversity of different flavors there.
Yeah, just walking past the string quartet there. It's really all going very nicely here. A lot of people. Hi there. And the hospital has their stand here. And they're not a string quartet. They're a string trio, excuse me. But, this is all part of the kind of new life that's occurring here in Ellenville.
Right.
The place is really beginning to change and take shape in a different sort of way, you know. And
it'd be interesting in a couple of years or even a couple of months when cannabis vendors are showing up at these farmers markets and having booths. So I see them in the city. I went to New York City not too long ago in the summer, and they have cannabis booths. A lot of the street fairs there. I'm not sure how legal it is, because I don't think you can sell recreational marijuana at the moment, but they're there. They're out there. So
yeah, well, that will be coming. I mean, I think in that industry, that whole area is desperately waiting for the Cannabis Control Board to come up with all the rules. But, you know, when you think about it, there are so many rules. It's such a huge thing, because you've got hemp on the one side, you've got so-called marijuana on the other side, and then everything that you can do with that, you know, from smokable things to eatable things to drinks to whatever. It's just, you know, and even hemp is not simple. You know, I mean, there's various kinds of fiber, and, you know, I mean, it's a monster. And only six of them. I don't know. You have you ever covered a Have you ever covered a school board?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you know what a thankless job that is, right? You know, you don't get paid, right?
And yeah.
These people, here's your packet, says the school secretary, right? Giving them sort of like 200 pages of text, you know. So you know, I'm sure it's like that for the control board.
Yeah. So.
You know.
But you know, I'm sure more news is going to come out for that, and you know, definitely we want to talk to you more about that because it seems like Elavon has more things going on as far as cannabis compared to, let's say, even Sullivan County. You know, there's not much news out of Sullivan County as far as cannabis, other than what's happening with SUNY Sullivan. But except, you know, it seems like Elavon is the place to be for cannabis right now.
I think that's a great story. I didn't know about that, but the SUNY Sullivan thing is a nice angle. We're going to file that away, and I'll give him a call.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're talking to Chris Riley from the Shawangunk Journal. Thank you so much, Chris, for taking your time out of your evening, out of the farmers markets, and letting us know what's going on in Ellenville. And we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. And, of course, we'll talk to you again on the Reporters Roundtable that's coming out in August. So, thank you, Chris, so much for joining us. I do really appreciate it. Enjoy your rest of your evening and stay safe, especially in light of the active shooter training class you went to. So stay safe in this time. So,
okay. Good talking to you.
Definitely, Chris. Take care.
Bye-bye.
This is the Local Edition. We'll be right back with Haley Mottola from Public Health talking about monkeypox and COVID. The World Health Organization declared monkeypox as a global emergency. Let's find out what's going on with it here in Sullivan County.
Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum presents Summerfest 2022, August 6th and 7th, featuring the Hardy Cup Bamboo Casting Competition and casting demos, fly tying for kids, artisans market, live music, and more. Summerfest 2022, Saturday and Sunday, August 6th and 7th at the CFFCM Lower Field, 1031 Old Route 17, Livingston Manor. More information at cffcm.com. Paid for by Catskill Fly Fishing Center and Museum.
Welcome back to the Local Edition. It's Friday on the Local Edition. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Monkeypox. In June, the first case of monkeypox was confirmed in Sullivan County, and since then, it has reached 75 countries and infected over 16,000 people. According to the World Health Organization, the United States has the most cases and recently declared it a global emergency. You'll be hearing me all day saying, what does that mean for Sullivan County? Well, we'll find out tonight. On the phone this now is Haley Mottola, Sullivan County Public Health Epidemiologist. She's going to let us know what's happening with monkeypox and COVID and what can we do to keep safe. And it should be worried. Haley, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to know, since the first confirmed case of monkeypox in Sullivan County in June, have there been any more cases?
So far in Sullivan County, we haven't seen any further outbreaks or anything that we're concerned with as of this moment. Of course, things are always constantly changing. And like you mentioned, other surrounding areas are seeing an increase in cases, especially in New York City. So that's something that, of course, you know, it is close to home. So we keep an eye on that.
The World Health Organization announced that monkeypox is a global emergency now. What is Sullivan County doing to prepare?
So we're always in a state of preparedness. So as with like measles or COVID or H1N1 or any other disease outbreak that kind of surpasses normal or average numbers, we work, of course, preventative measures, education, response measures. So disease emergencies are really something that we're always prepared for. So securing, you know, vaccine, working with the New York State Department of Health and creating clinics and kind of just doing everything that we've done for forever.
Who should be concerned about being infected?
Yeah, so really, I mean, it is a disease that can infect anybody. It's spread through close contact with lesions, respiratory droplets with prolonged period of like face-to-face, intimate contact, kissing, you know, talking for an extended period of time, very close together, It could be with shared bedding, towels can be passed from mother to fetus during pregnancy. But we have seen and within the country and the state, it kind of impacting the LGBTQIA community a little bit more so through contact. So, of course, in terms of like vaccine eligibility, that is a community of, you know, that we pay attention to in this case with this outbreak. But of course, it impacts anybody. It just happened to kind of start in that group, but it can impact anybody.
When the measles came around in Sullivan County, there were folks were encouraged, if they haven't received the booster shot recently or maybe don't remember when they received the booster shot for the measles, it was a good idea to sort of get your measles booster shot just to sort of protect yourself, since measles was at that time was going to be sort of prevalent that summer, right? From my memory. Do you see that happening with monkeypox, that we should prepare and get vaccinated to have that protection? And I honestly, I don't remember it being sort of vaccine that you get as a kid. I'm not remembering that.
Yeah. So with this, monkeypox, the vaccine that's used for monkeypox is actually the vaccine for smallpox. So smallpox was eradicated from the United States decades ago. But the vaccine was given until, I believe, the early 1970s. So there is a good subset of people that have been vaccinated for smallpox. But after that, nobody after that generation has been vaccinated with the smallpox vaccine. So we've already held a clinic here, two clinics, actually, out of the public health building. And really, it's all just based around when the state sends us vaccine. So it's a little bit like the early COVID days where, you know, we're allotted, a certain amount of vaccine and have an eligibility criteria that has to be met for people to sign up and get vaccinated. So it's kind of similar to those early COVID days. But yeah, there are people that are out there that are going to have already been vaccinated for smallpox, but it is going to be kind of a limited population.
How worried should we be as a general population? Thinking back to when COVID hit, I remember in early January and February, it was sort of a concern that, hey, this might come around. And then, boom, March came and just sort of changed everything, and everything went to lockdown. How worried should be the general public with monkeypox?
So monkeypox is much less contagious. It's not an airborne disease. It's not something you can get from, you know, walking by somebody in the grocery store or being in the same room with somebody without having that close contact. So really, it's intimate contact, close contact, living with somebody. I'm, you know, very kind of like skin to skin. So it's not something that the general public needs to be, you know, wearing any sort of different PPE or anything like that. It's not like something that you get from the grocery store. So it's not something, if you believe that you're someone who's at high risk, somebody who may have been exposed, somebody who would be at risk for having skin-to-skin contact with like a possible suspect case, you know, that's a different story. And then you would just call, you know, public health here. But the general public, it's not something that, you know, you should be extremely worried about. Of course, always staying up to date with the latest, you know, science that's available. Because, of course, as we've all seen, things can constantly change. But at this time, it's not something that the general public has to be concerned with when they're just out and about in their daily life.
We're still in the midst of a COVID-19 pandemic. People are still getting infected. What lessons have you and Sullivan County have learned that sort of can apply to this new growing concern of monkeypox that's happening here regionally and across the country and around the world? We all have been sort of traumatized for the past 2 years and lived through a COVID-19 pandemic. I'm sure there have been lessons learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's kind of difficult just because they're not very parallel. It's difficult to make comparisons just because they're so different. So I think it's kind of more like major themes that you can kind of take away. I think being practical and being positive and good communication with community partners and with the community in general is going to be something that's most beneficial in terms of like the actual, you know, empirical, you know, epidemiology and science of it all. You know, it's there. This isn't like a new disease. This has been, you know, it was first classified in the late 1950s. So it's not something that's new. So the science is there. And, you know, of course, it's acting differently than it has before in the past. So that's different. That's the concerning part. But when taking it, you know, side by side with what we've learned from the past, you know, 2+ years now of COVID, really, I think the most beneficial lesson to be learned is, you know, being proactive and good communication.
Now, talking about the COVID-19 pandemic, I said we are still in the midst of a pandemic. Obviously, it's not as bad as it was 2 years ago. Now we have vaccines. Now we have booster shots and a lot more information. What is sort of the current status of COVID-19 in the county? Are the infections are going up? Or have they stabilized? What can you tell us?
So we're still in a low area of low transmission, thankfully, with very low hospitalizations, deaths, and we've had no new deaths. The seriousness of illness, I mean, people are still getting sick and people get very uncomfortably sick. But in terms of like hospitalizations and severe illness, we're just not seeing that like we were previously, which is a good thing, of course. So we're seeing that wane a bit. Of course, there's still cases, and, you know, cases come in daily, of course. So it's important to be vigilant, but they're just not being, we're not seeing the detrimental impact that we were previously.
We're still in a COVID-19 pandemic. And like I said, while the hospitalization is not like it was before, people are still getting infected. And when New York State released their COVID-19 dashboard to get the latest numbers, a lot of the towns and cities has sort of followed suit, and Sullivan County was one of them. And we sort of got used to seeing the COVID-19 dashboard being updated, and sort of use some of us as reporters or even as the general public using that as sort of a basis to navigate this new COVID-19 world when we went outside our doors. Now, Sullivan County has stopped the dashboard and it's no longer updated. Why is that?
So the thing with the dashboard is we kind of reached a plateau with the information that was going out. Some of the information just became almost, you know, with hospitalizations, we're consistently, you know, below 5, and we're consistently not seeing the deaths being updated. And so it really just became kind of just a slow increase of these cases being reported, these positive cases, which, given the low transmission rate, we didn't find it to be as helpful to the community as it was when things were a little bit more on the unknown side. So it had our like vaccination rate, things now that can be found on the New York State Department of Health website. It became kind of like a decision we had to make where to put our resources. And with the current stability that we're seeing in COVID, I guess that would be the best way to put it, is that it's kind of reached, at least at this point, you know, in this exact second, because things change, a place of stability where we can kind of put our efforts somewhere else.
Right. And you can say that sort of signals sort of a page has turned in this chapter of COVID-19 in Sullivan County, that except the hospitalization is not like it was before.
Yeah.
And the information is, you know, is sort of plateaued. So public health and those in Sullivan County government decided to end the dashboard. Which is weird, because I said it sort of became a mainstay for so many of us, seeing it every day. Now it's not there anymore. So it's like, wow, it's a little weird. But Haley, before we go, is there anything else we have not touched on that you want our listeners to know about?
Really just to, you know, look at our Facebook page. That's updated very frequently. It's honestly where I think a lot of people get their information, is social media. And that's the best place to look for information on clinics, and information on future clinics and how to sign up, and, you know, if you have to pre-register or not. even for rabies clinics or COVID clinics. Everything is up on there. So that I would say is the best thing for the public to do. Is if they have any questions, though, also you can call us at Public Health, and you know, we'll be happy to help.
And what is that phone number for Public Health?
It's 845-292-5910.
845-292-5910. Haley, thank you so much for talking to us, letting us know all that's going on with COVID-19 and also the helping us navigate our growing concerns about monkeypox in the county. So most likely we'll talk to you again soon, because it doesn't seem like monkeypox is going away anytime soon, but folks always like to get updates on what's happening with monkeypox and now also obviously with COVID. So thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Haley. That's good information. Good information to keep safe. Visit Public Health, Sullivan County Public Health, for more information on monkeypox and COVID-19. That does it for the local edition, but that doesn't do it for our summer fun drive, which is still going on. Call us at 845-482-4141 or donate online at wjffradio.org. But that's it for the local edition. We'll be back on Monday. We're talking to Sullivan County about Move On Sullivan, the bus system. And we're talking to, I think we have a live guest also on Monday afternoon, around the evening, I believe. Jason, I think that we have a live guest. I think you'll be in charge.
I'll come back then. I'll be here Monday for the local edition.
Yeah, you'll be here.
Hey, Patricia, I just want to let you know, I just took a look at the online donations. We got an online donation. I want to thank Scott in Andes, New York. Thank you so much, Scott.
Wow, thank you so much, Scott, for donating.
So there you go. So you can join Scott and everybody else. You can still call us here while we're in the building, 845-482-4141. Make your donation that way. We're heading into our phenomenal music lineup on a Friday night. Mixtape, Rare Pair, Deep End, Low Stakes, great stuff. Call to support at 845-482-4141 or go online at wjffradio.org. You can make your donation there.
That's fantastic. It's a good news, good note to end the show on. So yeah. Thank you so much for that. I mean, you can continue the hype train of donating and calling us at 845-482-4141 or donate online at wjffradio.org. And if you ever miss a show of the local edition, we have a podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcast: Google, Apple, Stitcher. Search for WJFF, the local edition. Subscribe, share it, tell your friends. Find us on social media. We're on WJFF Radio Catskill. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I'm working on TikTok. I'm trying to get that working. We post every day at 4 p.m. Monday to Friday on Who's On The Show. You can visit our website, wjffradio.org/thelocaledition. I'll give it to you one more time, wjffradio.org/thelocaledition. You can find upcoming guests, see past guests, listen to the show. You've been listening to The Local Edition. I've been your host, Patricio Robayo. Lucy, have a good night. I'll talk to you soon. And everyone else, have a good weekend. Stay safe. And this has been The Local Edition. News and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. So